Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf, and today I have returning amazing guest, Ritu Chandra's here.
Yay. Thanks for having me, Kate.
You're welcome. Did I say your last name right?
Yeah, Chandra. That's
okay,
fine.
Okay.
Perfect.
I always have this fear of butchering beautiful names because I had this amazing roommate. She was my good friend through college. Shalini is her name. And I remember the first week it was Shalini to me. You know, like,
oh, I thought it is Shalini. I'm Indian. I thought that would be Shalini.
I thought it was Shalini. It's Shalini. And she didn't tell. She was so sweet. I did a week of Shalini. And then, like, we were in like that orientation where you go around the room for the dorm. And she was like, Shalini. And I just looked at her like, you could have told me.
That's funny.
Hi, Shalini. I'm sure she doesn't listen, but yeah. Anyway, so let's talk about the Louis C.K. thing.
There's been so much talk about it, first
Should
of
we
all.
Sum it up for anyone who doesn't know?
I mean, I guess if you're not in comedy, maybe it wouldn't be on your radar. Yeah, why don't you sum it up?
Okay, so, well, first of all, I kind of talked about it, I guess, 6 or 7 months ago on my podcast.
Yeah, we've discussed it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he came out with an amazing special on Netflix. Right. And everyone in the comedy community was talking about how brilliant he is, and outside the comedy community. And I was saying to people, I'm like, I'm having a hard time watch it because I've heard these rumors.
Right.
He's so funny and such a great writer. And yet I have a little pit in my stomach because I think he's a sexual predator.
Right. Well, also, he actually was very like pro women in a lot of his, his jokes too, like his stance on, there was something about like just basically how creepy men are and how much women have to deal with and stuff like that. So then it's weird then the creep was him, you know?
Yeah, it's almost like he was like alluding to himself, like he wanted to get it out and like touched it without really.
Or just he was so self-aware.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's such a self-aware person.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was like teetering on the thing. And obviously, I think things are all way more in the gray. It's not so black and white. So I'm not even here to be like, he's an evil man.
No, but let's talk about the, I don't want to call it a witch hunt, but like that Harvey Weinstein, I feel like now it's just like a, it's just
an unveiling.
Yeah,
almost.
An unveiling. And it's just going now. It's just, things are being revealed.
Men can't get away anymore with that kind of power, sexual predator energy that's still present, but it's not as able to, I don't know.
When
fly.
The Harvey Weinstein thing broke, we were talking about it actually. We had lunch or whatever. I was really upset. Like it really bothered me what was coming out about him. I don't know why I was not as bothered by the whole Louis C.K. thing. Mm. I don't know if it's and this is horrible, but just the level of like there's allegations of rape against Harvey Weinstein. Not to say that you shouldn't jerk off in front of somebody or whatever, but just I think, there are different levels of
sexual assault
and that Harvey Weinstein's was, you know, obviously at the point where I was like, I cannot even deal with how many women are coming out.
Was more extreme for sure than Louis. You know, I've never had a man whip out his penis and masturbate in front of me in an unwelcomed way.
Right, in an unwelcomed way.
But I'm sure it would be terrifying to be alone with a man in a room who does that. And because you go to, am I about to be raped?
Right.
And I know it can disillusion people from maybe not wanting to pursue comedy anymore. I mean, we know, like, we've had fights with comedians that made us go, oh, God, do I want to be in this industry anymore?
Totally.
Let alone one of the biggest, you know, comics of all time that everyone loves, whipping his
dick
out. Well,
then apparently, too, they're saying that the agent was, like, threatening these women not to say anything. So that would definitely...
That's a whole other thing.
That would have me freaked out.
Yeah.
More than him pulling his dick out would be, like, being threatened like that.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't know where I could feel safe doing what I love. Like, I wouldn't even want...
Yeah. It sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, it sucks.
Women were being silenced.
I was thinking... I mean, you probably don't know, but it's a weird thing because it got me thinking about, because I started to read about Roman Polanski because I don't know a whole lot. And like he fled the country because he was accused of raping this girl who he did rape.
Wasn't she like a minor too?
She was 14.
Yeah.
And now there's other allegations of him having sex with very young girls. Why did we give him an Academy Award? Like I'm just trying to figure out like what are we doing? As like, what is Hollywood doing? What is entertainment doing? Because like that is definitely, we've allowed that. And we've said it's okay. And we've applauded him. Harrison Ford flew his Academy Award over to Europe to present to him. And there he is smiling in a picture, giving it to him. He raped a 14-year-old girl. And if you read about the case, she wants to drop the charges now. They say that she's been paid money or whatever so that he can come back to the country, something like that. But it's like, and people are saying, well, just let him back. But why would you ever, why is that? Yeah. I guess I'm confused about what we're doing.
I think it stems from this learned behavior that is deep ingrained in men and women in our society, and I'm sure around the world, which is turn the other cheek. Yeah. It's suppress your truth. Don't speak up. And I think so many of us have gotten used to silencing ourselves and having to survive. You're in a childhood environment. And if you tell your parents, actually, I think you're being an asshole right now.
Right.
You get beat or emotionally beat, you know. Right. And I think in a sense, we're unlearning this behavior of, oh, I better shut up or something bad's going to happen to me. So right. I think, you know, and it's a good thing that they're all coming to the light because it's changing. But I think that's what it stems from is we all kind of turned the other cheek. I hope that's the right phrase for it.
Just turned our backs on it or pretended because, it didn't happen.
I don't know if you know this and I won't mention the name, but there was a certain comedy club. When I first started comedy, I got passed there for late night.
Yeah.
Once again, I don't want to mention any
names.
And one of the owners did a slight groping of me.
Yeah.
And a lot of people knew, and I just stopped going to the club. I didn't press any charges. We did go into a back and forth email exchange. But, you know, he was basically threatening, like, if you dare say something, no one will believe you. And my thing was, like, I wasn't even going to say anything. I just want to get the fuck out of here.
Right.
But so many people knew, and even there, no one really, including myself, dug it up or, you know, try to make a thing of it because I think we're so scared, or we were. It's
you
changing.
You are, and you want to keep working. Do you want to be the girl, oh, like, I'm not going to hire her because she's going to, you know, what if I don't even really do any, like, then you just get painted in this light. No, I definitely have just... I was trying to tell that. I was talking to my husband about it, and he's like, you just reported to HR. I was like, no, you don't understand, because I had a job where I was harassed regularly, and it was my first job out of college. I mean, I was hot, so I deserved to be harassed. No, but I was harassed regularly, and I remember my boss was like, you need to say something, because the guy who harassed me the most, he couldn't stand. So it wasn't even that I don't even think he was because he cared about me as much as he wanted the other guy to get in trouble, right? And I was like, yeah, so I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to be the pariah around the company. First of all, there's going to be an investigation, and no one's going to want to go out for drinks with me or have lunch or whatever it is. I'm in my early 20s. I don't want to be outcast.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we don't want to stand out for that reason.
No.
And I, you know, in my situation, I didn't want to put my energy into this fight.
Right.
You know, I wanted to put my energy into comedy, teaching, raising my son.
Yeah.
But then once again, you know, a lot of people could say, oh, well, you should have, because it would have helped to bring this down. And I think we can never tell a woman or a man what they should and shouldn't pursue in terms of this argument. You know, if a sexual assault victim, and I'm not saying I was necessarily, but, you know, if they're not ready to fight it or actively pursue it, you can't force that either.
I think that more people will be likely to report it or do something if there are going to be consequences for the person. And it, you know, looks like there's starting to be consequences.
Thank God.
But that's part of why I think people don't, like, yeah, so you might have said something, but nothing could have changed other than that you looked bad in the situation.
Yeah. Because and he would have tried to paint a picture to make me look bad.
Right.
And I just was like, I don't have the energy
now
to do this. And I'm still thankful that I didn't.
Right.
Like, at the end of the day, I'm glad that I avoided that drama. That whole thing, that situation is fine now. I don't want to get into why, but
no, totally.
It's not, he's not there anymore. And but I think it is pretty cool watching the patriarchy crumble.
I know.
Because the patriarchy, it's not man versus woman. It's like abuse of power that's affected both men and women.
So now on the other side, since both of us have little boys.
Yeah.
I am nervous for him. Not because I think that... because I think it's going to be a very fine line and a weird place between what's okay and what's not okay. Like, I think it's going to be hard for, I mean, obviously jerking off in front of somebody is not okay. But where are people going to not, like, you could say something that could totally piss somebody off and you could totally be joking. Because, like, I've definitely had lots of things said to me. And... you know, it all depends on who's saying it, how they're saying it, the context, yeah. How what's my relationship with this person like?
Yeah.
And so let's say it's somebody, I'm a comic, I'm really good friends with a guy who makes fun of my boobs or something or says something about my boobs. I'm okay with it, but let another comic now heard it and thinks it's okay to say to me, but it's not okay for him. Like it is unfortunately, guy, like for guys, there's no rule. Some of you I'm okay with and some of you I'm not. I don't.
Well, I love you bringing that up, because I think what's going to eventually have to happen, whether you're a man or a woman, is actually learning to receive and feel into things. Right. Like, you know, some people have become so numb, they can't tell the difference between what's an okay joke to make and what's an offensive joke. Like, they literally cannot make the connection. Well, how come that person could say it and I can't?
Right.
And sometimes it's a subtle sensitivity. It's a feeling.
Right.
Well, that person's my close friend.
Right.
And we've established a comfort where they can make a joke about my boobs.
Right.
And it doesn't feel creepy. But when you do, sir, that I don't really know,
right.
ask, say, hey, bitch, show me your nipple.
Right.
That felt awful.
That felt awful. Exactly.
And just like, you know, once again, it's not man versus woman. It's all of us learning to say what feels okay and what doesn't. Because even men can get mistreated and sexually harassed.
Right.
And all of us learning to speak up instead of feeling stupid for being so sensitive.
Right.
Especially in the comedy world. It's like, oh, stop. Don't take that seriously, faggot. Like, like, you know, we all just like brush it away.
You better have a thick skin. Like, no, you're not supposed to get upset about anything.
Which is why I've stood out in many ways where I would be the one person like, that hurts my feelings.
Right.
And I look like the nerd.
Right.
But now that's finally becoming a bit more acceptable to say like, hey, that hurts.
Right.
Please don't call me that name. Right. Please don't call me, you know, and sorry I said it so abruptly, but like, please don't call me a faggot.
Right.
Like, not that being gay is bad, but don't use that word in a derogatory way just because I said something hurts my feelings, you know? But this stuff starts in middle school of like the teasing and, oh, you better not say that it hurt you or that you felt something.
Well, I'm very much a product of that.
Oh, I think we all are.
Like, I have... very much I'm not going to let you know if something bothered me, if it bothered me. It bothered me, but I'm like, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine.
I'm fine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm trying, you know, definitely that toughen up. Don't let anybody see your emotions.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know if I was raised like that, but that's what I internalized.
Well, I think you and I both are learning. Because, I mean, we'll get into it a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, Ritu and I got into a couple fights.
Yeah.
And, but I think...
we've been having a bit of a tough time.
We have.
I mean, let's just be honest. We've been...
yeah.
The bottom line is, whatever the tough time we have, is we still have a tremendous amount of respect for each other and like each other, even if we can't figure out how to get along when we're hanging out. And it's,
well,
it's
we the do strangest... for the most part.
We I do, mean... but it's the strangest... thing to me too, in a weird, it's kind of an odd.
Well, I think what it's linked to is what we were just saying, where I think both of us in different ways learned to not say when something was bothering them.
Yeah.
And this is something that I think everyone almost does, where a little thing bothers you and you think, oh, I'm not going to possibly say something. I'll seem crazy.
Right.
And then you hold it back on both ends. And then boom, something that's quote unquote small sets it off. Right. And then a year's worth or longer for
totally.
Married couples, whoever. Right. And I think on both ends, there was no fault. I think
it just gurgled up.
It gurgled up and it almost took both of us by surprise. And I don't think it was even just about me and you, you know, me with like the karmic. I think it was to help both of us grow in the sense of, oh, you really can't avoid confrontation.
Right.
Not just with me and you.
Right.
You kind of have to start saying when something hurts you, or something like a blow up
right.
will happen and it'll be so much worse
than dealing with it when it happens.
Yes.
No, and you're not the only one where I'm seeing that with.
Well, either. Same with you, because there, you know, I think that shift is happening in my life where I'm finally saying to people, I'm starting to speak my mind more. And it's not, I always want to do it with love, but in the beginning, it came out very abrupt because right. it's a skill you have to learn.
Right.
Where you're like, oh, that hurt me. How can I not react defensively
right.
and coldly or harshly? How can I be vulnerable in this moment and say, oh, I feel uncomfortable or that hurt my feelings.
Right.
And it's this skill that most of us have to relearn.
Right, right.
Because we were taught, whether it's our peers, our families, you don't fucking open your mouth.
Right, don't say anything.
Yes.
Don't say anything, you're fine.
It's linked to this whole topic of don't say anything.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's why when you're like, oh, we're not getting along, I don't even see it as that, because on my end, there's such deep bond and love between
so
us.
So maybe not getting along, but we've had some conflict. That's
there you
it.
Go. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. And it's been uncomfortable and it hasn't yes. been fun.
But it's helped me grow immensely.
The last conflict we have, I was very happy with how we were able to kind of get.
We came through.
We came through it. And I felt like we came through it. You know what I mean? Like
we were both like ready to cry by the end.
I know.
It was like, but in a beautiful way.
That was a big deal for me.
Oh, no, me too. I kind of left like shook, not in a bad shook.
No,
I was
but that
like,
I
whoa.
Almost cried while that was going on was a huge deal.
Yeah, me too.
For me. So.
Because that's
just,
the showing.
Right.
It's the showing the vulnerability like, oh, my God, we're fighting and I love you. So this hurts me.
Right.
Instead of the cold. Well, fuck this.
I'm fine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm fine. I don't care.
That's
I don't
fine.
Care.
Right.
That's old me.
Right. Right.
Ice people out. It's almost like cutting off a limb.
Yeah.
Right. It's like. Well, this is too uncomfortable, so let me just cut it off so I don't have to deal with it. And I've realized that doesn't do anything for me.
It doesn't do anything, but sometimes it is easier, I will say.
Well, it's a defense mechanism
it's
for a reason.
It's a defense mechanism, absolutely.
It works when it has to work.
Yeah.
But I think you and I both, or I could just speak for myself, I've at least gotten to a point in my life that defense mechanism doesn't work for me anymore.
Yeah.
It used to help me survive.
Yeah.
And now I've gotten to a point where I'm like, no, it's putting space between me and a lot of people I love.
Yeah.
So
right.
I have to really learn how to say once again when something's hurting me in the moment kindly.
Right.
And not as defensively, because I like my friends
right.
and I want to learn
right.
to receive what they're saying and vice versa.
Right. I think
it's hard though.
For me though, it's hard. It's also hard because there are some people, you're not one of them because you're at least want to grow and change and try to figure
get
this out.
Get through it. Yeah.
But like, what do you do with the people who it probably isn't worth having the confrontation, but yeah. I feel like I'm doing myself a disservice too if I don't say something.
Yeah.
Like I have a situation in my life where I'm going through something like that. And I know that confronting the person isn't going to be worth it because they're incapable. Mm. They'll just
like they don't have the skills
right,
yet.
They'll just
to
be like, you're
it.
Right, whatever you say. You know what I mean? Like it won't be productive in any kind of way.
Yeah.
Do you still do that?
What I've been doing is feeling out each situation.
Yeah.
Because each person you have this, it's the third thing. It's the relationship between the two. And you know, some people, the third thing, it feels safe, like you and I had.
Right.
I mean, it was uncomfortable, but we got through it.
Right.
Where there's right now some people in my life that as of now, but I think things can shift quickly, for whatever reason, it doesn't feel safe for both of us to get through the difficult ground between us.
Yeah.
So, you know, I kind of give that space until it feels safe on both ends for us to approach it. And sometimes you have to take almost a year away from
But don't you
someone.
Think there's some people you'll never be able to do that with?
Possibly.
Because they're not even looking at trying to, I mean, you have to have some insight into yourself to be able to go through that.
You have to want to go within a bit.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to see your part in things.
And don't you have, I mean, I feel like I encounter a lot of people who are not willing to see their parts in things. That's like one of the
yeah.
things in AA, right?
Well, they probably have such a large shame body that like the moment they start to go within to see their part, they feel so much self-hate and shame that they, do you know what I mean? It's like
yeah.
they can't
Right, they focus on the shame.
They just feel like such a piece of shit to the point where they almost might get suicidal to see some of their parts. And that's why you can't push or force anyone to meet you there if they're not ready. So, yeah, some people might not ever want to go there, but I try to have faith. And what I've really been seeing is just the more I go within and fix and heal my own parts, the more my external world changes anyway. Mm-hmm. So I just have faith that all I have to do is just keep going within, working on myself, mm-hmm. making myself more positive and healthy. And hopefully the people that really are meant to be in my life will both, you know, shift and be able to finally go there. Right. But, you know, right now there are some people in my life that we haven't yet been able to chew through whatever that thing is. And I think we're, you know, you just kind of let it rest and trust that when it is time to re-enter that, you'll both know it.
Right.
But I think it's important to not enter that place until it feels safe to do it. Otherwise, it can be really scarring.
Yeah, I'm sure. I think I've probably been through that.
But I think the last one we got through, so we had two big fights. I mean, big-ish, but like, and of course, none of them got physical or anything like that. I just needed to say
Sorry, guys. I'm sure you were hoping.
no one was in a headlock or anything crazy. But, you know, the difference between the first one to the second one was immense. And I think it wasn't even just about me and you. Like, I think, you know, there was something in the qualities in both that was like showed me in general how to get through these things and to not vanish or run.
Well, I think the first one, it was the first time we'd had a conflict like that. So I don't think either of us
knew what the hell
was going on, kind of. It was shocking.
It was jarring on both ends. We were both like, how did that happen?
Yeah. But the second one, it was like, kind of like, then I was like, oh, this is happening again.
I know. We both were like, what the fuck?
And then it was like, at least by that point, we had both knew and acknowledged like, okay, well, we do like each other and we do want good things for each other. It's not like we're going through this argument or fight or whatever you want to call it, hating each other. Like, so there was at least, because the first one, I don't think we were sure how we felt about each other as it was going on. You know, and I was like, wait a second, do I like this person? Do I not?
So the I was very confused.
The second time we were definitely like, no, I like this person, but we're definitely not getting along right now. And I don't know exactly what's happening here.
We were saying that a lot during the fight. Yeah. Like we were both like, I don't know what's happening.
Yeah. I don't know what happened just now. Right.
Cause I was even saying, I was like, you're not the only person right now that I'm having this issue with.
Right.
So I was very clear, like, this isn't a you problem. Like, I know that this is something that, do you know what I mean? Like, I knew it was both of us. I was like, something's here to look at.
Right.
But it was definitely funny because during the whole fight, we were both still like, what is happening?
Right. So it was like we had more insight the second time.
We were very self-aware the whole fight. Yes. That's for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. So. But it was still super uncomfortable. Yeah. And jarring. Yeah. It's always hurtful to fight with someone you love.
Yeah. Sucks. And it doesn't feel good. I mean, even though we got through it okay, even the second time you left, I was like, ugh.
What the fuck happened? Yeah.
What the fuck happened?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I remember driving away being like, what the hell? But then I had a deeper sense of comfort and security. Me like, too. Oh, we're going to be fine.
Me too. I was like,
we'll feel it out when it's time to reach out again.
I think the second time I had more, like the first time my attitude, maybe after you left, was more like, yeah, fuck you.
Yeah. But we both
were. Yeah. And then the second time it was more like, all right, that wasn't good. That wasn't terrible. I do feel better about it. But the sense I had was, after the second time, was like, all right, even if we can't figure out how to be friends, I still love and respect and want good things for Kate. That's how I felt after. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Which is a
genuinely 100%. Yeah. I mean, even after the first time, I didn't want bad things to happen to you or whatever. You know, I still wanted good things for you. But there was less animosity.
Positivity or something?
Yeah. I definitely didn't, wasn't mad at you. I was like, maybe we're going to like each other, but not be able to get along. And that's just what's going to happen.
Without the other one having to be an asshole or wrong.
Right.
Or,
we just aren't able to get along. Doesn't mean we don't like each other. As but weird you as get, that sounds.
But you, even when you came over today, you said a couple times, you're like, even if we don't get along. So I felt like you were still a bit.
No, I'm not
in that wheel
bit.
Where I was like, we're fine.
It's not that I'm in that wheel. I guess I think there's something cool in that too.
Yeah.
That even if we didn't, even if we, let's say this tonight ended in a fight. It's not going to, damn it.
Well, let's say live tonight, on the podcast.
On the podcast or off the podcast, we end up in whatever.
Well, we have 35 minutes left. Okay. So.
Well, there's always time for a fight. What are we going to talk about? No. But so that I'm okay, like, nothing's going to change that I love you and want good things from you, even if we don't get along. That's what I mean. You know what I mean?
But that's such a huge, huge shift, because especially in my life, because that's part of the old defense is like you fight with someone and you have to go into this like, well, I hate them. They're bad.
They did this or whatever.
Yeah. You know, we're disagreeing, but I still want the best for them. Yeah. It's such a huge shift.
And that's the way it should be. And the only way you get to that, though, is by having the confrontation and the discussion. It's when you don't, I feel like, that you start making up this story about what they were thinking and what was going on. You know what I mean? And then you leave with this negativity.
That eats you alive,
that
too.
That eats you alive, yeah.
And no, I think, you know, hopefully the world will start to learn how to have positive conflict.
Yeah.
And it might not be great at first, like ours at first. Like we, after our first fight, we didn't talk for what, 2-3 months?
Yeah, maybe.
About
two or three.
And then I think I reached out and said I would love to talk, because we tried talking right after. We kind of chewed through it a time, but we were both like,
we didn't really at all. We just more like, we're like,
we were both confused still.
We love you. Love you. Good luck. Goodbye.
Peace out. And then, and I think we both needed to feel out what our feelings were. Right. And then I reached back out to kind of just test the waters.
Yeah.
And I think that's important, though, is that, you know, when you do have conflict, to allow space if you need it. Like we couldn't have gotten here either without putting a lot of space into it.
You can't wrap everything up in a bow. And that's what I think I said that day, the second one. I was like, look, we may not wrap this up neatly in a bow today and be like, okay, everything's great again.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because not, it sometimes,
it's too much pressure to try to make everybody, you can't, especially if you just felt like shit for 20 minutes during the confrontation, all of a sudden be like, all right, now we're going to be fine.
You need time to like for real decompress.
Yeah.
And that can take months. And in some situations that I've had with people, it's taken a year or years. Like we were talking a little bit, I don't want to get too into it, but like with my mom, her and I are doing great, but it's taken years and years of space and talks and really chewing through some really thick issues and pain.
Yeah.
That once again, wasn't either one of our faults.
Right.
I believe in karma and holding these old historical wounds, you know? So it's like, but sometimes it still just takes time to get through it. And once again, in my past with her, I had to blame. I was a big blamer. And then the big thing that's shifting is taking away the blame. I mean, this is just what is.
Right.
No one's at fault. But if I need space, I need space. That person doesn't have to be bad, though.
Right, right.
And that's a huge difference, because once our society can shift from blame consciousness to like this other non-duality of like everyone has their own perspective, we can actually hear each other out.
Yeah.
Which is hard as
fuck. I have a hard time seeing that happening for a lot of people.
I think it can happen. I think it's going to be gradual, but I think things like the Harvey Weinstein and Louis, interestingly enough, because we haven't heard the end of Louis. I mean, he's one of the funniest, most talented comedians, and I still do respect him.
You think he'll have a comeback? You think he'll?
It depends on how he handles it. I think if he can really go within and show grace and compassion for the people, which he already semi kind of did.
Yeah, he did. I think
his, kind of.
Look, I think his apology, people wanted to jump on the apology then and be like, it's not sincere, it's not that.
It's a start.
It's a start, and it's really like, what did you want him to do? If he does, they want him to grovel.
That's what they want.
But wouldn't they just be like, you're still not sincere? We don't believe it. So I feel like he can't win with that.
I think it's a start. I think hopefully, you know, whoever interviews him or whatever next, you know, media outlets he goes to.
Yeah.
There can be a way. Because look,
How many women do you think he jerked off in front of that didn't care, though?
Oh, I don't know. I can't do that. I'm psychic-ish, but not that kind of psychic.
You think there were women he definitely did that in front of who just didn't give a shit?
There might have been some women who they were making out and maybe he did. Who the hell knows? Right. But like, I think, you know, when it comes to like all the sexual predator shit, I think it's way more deep and layered than we like to make. Like, we love, you know, having a Louis or a Harvey come out and us being like, bad, bad, right, he's the problem. When it's like, no, there's a collective disease. It's an overpowering thing. It's part of the patriarchy. That's once again, not man versus woman.
Right.
It's the dog eat dog mentality.
Right, right.
Of, you know, taking people down. And once we really start to fix that, it's all going to shift onward and upward. But we have to start really looking at how we're collectively creating these situations.
Well, I think part of it is you do see it more often in certain industries than other industries. So you see it in entertainment, you see it in politics, you see it, you see
I've
it kind
seen
of
it everywhere, like in the public school system.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It might not be, I don't know of anyone that took out their dick, right, but I'm sure that has happened.
Right.
But, oh, no, there's abuse of power in almost every system.
I believe that there's abuse of power in every system, but I'm saying there's certain systems which are more power based, like these, like politics or entertainment.
For sure.
I where there's more like the gatekeeper to this.
I don't know. Even in the public school system, like you have principals that can be up to some shady shit,
right,
where teachers are silenced. And I mean, there are affairs, as you know,
yeah, yeah,
that go on. And then, but if one person has a position of power and then they threaten something, yeah, you know, some teachers had dirt on other teachers. Like there was one teacher that got pulled over for like a DUI, but then they let him go. But then it was like, oh, but if you ever speak up about this, we'll bring that back out. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like there's shady shit everywhere. And of course, I'm sure entertainment and politics is an extreme of
right,
it. But I'm sure everywhere there's the guy at fucking Staples doing some shit too.
Right.
I don't know why Staples came in.
Yeah, but I just think it's worse when people, the more money and more kind of fame and notoriety are associated with the certain industries.
I mean, I'm
because
sure.
Because because the guy, like the Harvey Weinstein, like the ego, it, like the that personality, yeah, that's, you know, the guy who's just working at Staples, maybe he's a little horny.
Well, he thinks he shits diamonds and nothing can touch him.
Right.
But I'm telling you, there are some principals and superintendents.
Oh, I'm sure.
That they become that within their own world.
Right, right.
You know, and just because we're not in that world, right, doesn't mean it's not happening. Remember,
oh, no, I believe
these
it's
are
happening.
Fractals.
No, I believe it's happening.
So
yeah,
fractals, it's essentially, you know, like the same thing in every, it's qualities that you can find
everywhere.
So just because to us it seems not as big, to someone who just wants to feed their family and they have a corrupt superintendent,
yeah,
or something,
that's true,
that is huge to them.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I want to say something, but if I do, I could lose,
yeah,
my benefits. And, you know, it's just, but what I think so funny about all this is we're kind of touching on the root, which is speaking up and learning how to have positive conflict, because
right,
it starts at home.
Right, right.
So you start learning how to speak up for yourself, whether it's your husband, your best friend, family members, whoever. You start learning to speak up and suddenly the whole thing shifts. Even, you know, and we both have boys. Mine just entered middle school. Yours will be there soon.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where we really need to support our kids in speaking up, because
right,
bullying really starts in middle school. And that's
right,
where we're really taught, like, you better not fucking say anything,
right,
or, you know, you're not going to be popular.
Right, right.
It's this mentality that really, I'm sure it starts in elementary too, but
no,
middle
but
school,
yeah,
is brutal.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And high school.
But it is hard for kids though to speak up.
Yeah, and I get it.
Because even now, like something will happen and Alex will be like, don't say anything, don't say anything, don't interfere. It'll
and then
be
you
fine.
Can't, because if you do,
right,
your
you
kid's
don't want to betray
mad,
their confidence.
And then they're like not cool because they went to their mom.
Right.
There's like middle ground ways,
yeah,
that I try to find.
Like, yeah,
okay, I won't say something, but can I do this at
right,
least? You know?
Right.
But it's hard.
It is hard.
Yeah, you can't it's be hard. the mommy that's like, what did you say to my kid?
I know.
I think we're both doing a really good job though.
Yeah.
I do. Because we're
I'm
cool enough to listen to what they're saying.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't want him to be bullied, but I'm certainly don't want him to be a bully either. Like, it makes,
yeah,
me happy to not be getting that
Well, did,
coming out of him.
I think before our fight, we taught our kids how to resolve conflict. Yeah. They did much better than we did. Yeah. Well, there they're you younger. Go. Yeah. They're younger.
Their problems were more simplistic. They were able to put their finger on it. You said this. I did this. I didn't like that.
And then they went off and played. And they were fine.
They were fine.
We have to unlearn years of conditioning.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's what I was talking about with you earlier before the podcast about how I love. I'm 44. I just turned 44.
Yay.
Listeners. It's not yay. But okay.
It's a gateway number. 44, double digits. It's a magical year for retail.
It's going to be my magical year. It is. But I definitely obsess a lot about I've been obsessing a lot about losing my youth and my looks and things like that. And.
Which I hate. First, let me tell you something right now. Ritu looks stunning. She's wearing cheetah pajamas, but she's glowing and she looks 13 years old and she's worried about aging. And I'm like, this woman looks.
Oh, you're sweet.
I'm serious though. It's so in your head, but that's what you were saying. Keep going.
But that's what I was saying. And you know, the younger generation, as I like to call them or whatever, there's so much that I admire and respect. Like they come out and they're like, you know, they don't want to be. But they don't want their bodies to be shamed. They don't want to be slut shamed. There's all these things that they speak out about and that it should be okay to be who they are. And I love it, but I don't get it. And I can't get on board with it because I was taught to hate everything about myself. That's how I was taught to be a woman. Yeah. You look in the mirror and you go, ew, this is fat. This looks bad. Look at your face. There's a wrinkle. That's how I was taught to a woman. That's how my mom womaned. And that's how her mom womaned. That's how, you know, like, that's how it was passed on to me.
So sad.
Yeah, it is sad. But you know what? It's such a part of me that I don't even think about it being sad because it's just so who I am. Like, yeah, you walk by the mirror.
You can change that and heal that if you want to.
You think so? Really?
100%.
That's one of the 100%. Things that I honestly feel like it's been so long that I've been doing it this way. Like, I'm just going to die wishing I was 10 pounds thinner.
No.
Like, I just will.
I mean, if that's what you want, but we all, I believe this, have the power, if we desire it, to shift and change all of these old. Because you're talking about a historical wound that was passed on from generation to generation of self-hate.
Right.
That both men and women carry in their own forms.
Right.
So you're talking about something that if you really want to shift, and why wouldn't you? You want to feel beautiful. Right? You want to be able to look at yourself in the mirror and be like, I'm fucking hot as hell.
Yes.
You know, and you are. So there's no reason for you not to think that other than this conditioning. So you can unlearn. And I've been trying to tell a lot of my friends that are in their 30s, 40s, 50s that a lot of people think it's like a definite concrete thing. Like, nope, you definitely age like this and you feel like shit about yourself. And I'm like, not me.
Right.
I look fucking young as hell.
Right.
My body's hot as shit. Right. I'm sorry to have all this confidence, everyone. And it's going to stay this way for a long fucking time. But I also believe that I could live 300, 400 years with like the fucking Anunnaki and Arcturians. So I'm a little out there. But like, I'm trying to fucking bring the Egyptian fucking Ankh back and be like, nah, bitches, let's vibrate and keep our bodies a lot longer, you know? So I'm on some other shit. But like, I really believe that we can turn that thing around, like this anti-aging, even when it comes to our eggs, women's eggs.
Yeah.
I think, now call me crazy, I think it's part of the-
probably will.
Yes. I think it's part of the patriarchy, honestly, where men's sperm has lived so long.
Yeah.
And women's eggs die at a certain age. I think women's eggs can actually last a lot longer if we mentally shift this, my biological clock is ticking, I'm getting old so quick. Bitches, my eggs are going to be good for a long fucking time. And you're going to see, because I'm not done popping out beautiful babies. Okay. I know it's exhausting, but I ain't done. And I think, like, once again, we can all heal and shift these old mentalities.
This is what I'll ask. I guess I think you're right. I could shift the mentality.
If you want.
If I wanted to. Part of it is I do think there's some humor I derive in feeling this way. But how much time would that require? Is it more time to feel like shit about myself, or is it more time to learn how to feel good about myself? You know what I mean, though? Because, like, I don't know. It depends on what's going to...
I love that question. It's like tapping the wrist. You're like, okay, bitch, but how much time I got?
Right, because if it's going
to
be like...
Okay, if it's easier to hate myself.
If it's easier to hate myself, we're just going to go with it now. That's what I'm saying.
I love that you asked that.
Because I'm lazy.
Well, that's such a great question, because I have some healing clients that, like, we all want change. super duper quick. Patience is something that most of us, you know, including myself, I'm like, hello, hello, manifest. I can tell you that it happens quicker than you think, but it's also slower than you think at the same time.
Right.
Which is a weird oxymoron. I get it. It's you just have to respect the process of nature, because it takes time to alchemize these old wounds, like bring them to the light, to let them slowly dissolve into their truest form. But it doesn't have to be as long as we think it is, too. Like, I definitely think it could take maybe a couple years to truly, on the deepest level, love yourself in all ways, mind, body, spirit. Mm-hmm. But that's not that long, considering to then have a full life where you look in the mirror and you're like, yes.
Right.
You know? And, like, that's why it's like, yeah, it might be easier to stay steeped in self-hate, but it's not really easier, because it hurts to look at yourself and just, instead of looking at the amazingness, because I see you and I'm like, damn, Ritu.
Right.
44, that gives me so, like, I already have the weird alien hope.
Right.
But I'm like, it gives me more, because I'm like, aging isn't what we think it is.
Right.
You can look fucking smoking hot in your 60s, 70s. I mean, I'm trying to look hot at 150. You know what I'm saying?
I have seen older women who look amazing. I really have. So.
But it's all how you wear your body. Yeah. I think of a body as like a physical vessel, an avatar. And it's how you treat it. It's your mentality. It's the holy trinity, mind, body, spirit connection.
Yeah.
And I know, once again, my beliefs are very out there with it, but, you know, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. You know,
I don't think you're wrong, though. I don't think you're wrong. Like I said, I've just been so indoctrinated into this negative way of looking at myself that.
That's why I wanted you in my labia game video, because I wanted you to show off.
Loved it.
Your hot bod.
I would have loved it.
Well, we were talking about that too. So in 2 days, I'm filming my labia game rap video, and I have insane, crazy outfits to wear. But Ritu and I were also talking, which links to this, is how, you know, I'm a little nervous to put out a pretty risque video, both lyrics and visuals. Mm-hmm. But we were saying how there really is a double standard where women are treated much more harshly when embracing their sexuality.
You were worried about Shane and if this would have, you know, the video, I said, and then I was like, oh, I'm sure nobody will even see it. You're like, no, I hope everybody sees it.
I mean, I want this shit to go viral as fuck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, well, one thing that I was telling Reed too, that I'm not proud of, talk about ashamed of something, but I'm trying to forgive myself. My son has this amazing bathrobe that has like flames on it, and I wanted to wear it for the video, and he was like, Mom, please do not wear my bathrobe for a rap song called Labia Game. He was
I don't think you should feel that badly, because I probably would have asked Alex too, okay?
I was like, I don't have a lot of money.
And then Alex would have dropped that, and I would be like, okay, you're right. Yeah. You're right. I should.
It's like, he's so right. We went to, I don't know if I should share this, but Shane goes to therapy. There's nothing to be ashamed of.
No, there's not.
But I even brought it up to her, because I knew I was wrong, and I wanted to be like, this is what my son has to deal with. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry that I'm like this, but... But once again, why am I apologizing? Because, you know, there are amazing male comedians like Howard Stern, even Louis C.K. before this whole thing. Like, it's much more accepted for men to embrace sexuality and talk about it in a crass way. Whereas, like, a woman does it, they start being like, well, how do you feel as a mother? And it's like, well, I mean, how do you think I got pregnant with him?
Right,
like, I'm a dirty bitch.
Right.
Which, no, I'm but not there a dirty is a, bitch, there is but you a know
double
what I mean.
Standard. There are people who be like, well, you're a mom. Should you be like, if let's say I was in the video, you're a mom. Should you be in a video with this girl screaming pussy, pussy, pussy? Yeah, I should be in a video with a woman screaming pussy, pussy, because I want to be. That's all.
Yes.
And no,
it's actually pussy, pussy. Wait, now I forget it. I forget my own song. Pussy, pussy, pussy game. There you go. It is pussy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love how I forgot my own song.
But because it shouldn't matter, because you know, like, I don't even understand why this matters. If I get up on stage and use the word cunt, or if I do a Facebook post on it, like, it's almost like, because I'm, you know, I'm friends with a lot of the moms, and then I have like comedians and whatever, people who've come to my shows and things like that, and I can tell when I'm going to post something that's going to send a buzz across the, like, moms in town.
Yeah,
like, if I use the word cunt, that's going to be like, oh, shouldn't be using that kind of language. Da, da, da.
Yeah.
I'm like, why? Because, like, if I was a guy, they wouldn't care.
Well, that's just how the men talk, Rachel.
Right now.
Yeah. But that's part of the whole thing that's changing, which is beautiful. I know in a way you and I are like head spearing or whatever the fucking spearheading. There yeah. you go. The thing. I'm not saying just us. There are lots of badass, brave women who are outspoken doing it. But, you know, I think we're finally saying it's okay to be who you are. It's okay to be a woman and take shits, fart, curse. Yeah. Be outspoken, get into fights with your friends.
Right.
It doesn't mean you're like unwomanly. Because right. what does it mean to be a woman? We shit too.
Disagree. Like, it's okay to disagree. That's the one thing I yeah. think that really I have an yes. issue with. And I see a lot of women indoctrinated into that. Like, I might have the self-loathing about how I look.
Yeah.
But I don't have that one about don't disagree, get along, like that. Maybe I could use a little bit of, but you know, like I think there's a lot of women, and I see it in comedy all the time. Women who are just going along.
Be agreeable.
Be agreeable. Because then the yeah. guys will want you around if you're agreeable and you go and be you're pleasant. Okay with it. Be pleasant.
But
be
I think men in their own way have learned that too. Like I know a lot of my male comedians who've been mistreated in the comedy world, and you know some too.
Yeah.
That have been mistreated. And then we think, oh, but like, I don't want to be, what is it, disagreeable. I don't want to stand out. It's this overall theme we're picking up on.
Right.
And, you know, we're all going to collectively get to a place where we're like, no, let me speak my truth.
Right.
You know, and that's why it's so important. Yes, there's a woman thing. Like, I think women are rising and claiming their power, but it shouldn't be like women versus men at all. Like, I want the whole power thing to not stop, because that's insane, because we're animals and there is like a territorial thing right. within us, but eventually just like allow all of us to just be who we are
yeah.
and have our disagreements. And that's why I love, this was what's so funny during our last fight. I don't know if you noticed it, but like right before we started fighting and during, Ritu has two dogs now and they were doing their own, I don't know what you'd call it,
territorial, barking at each other. Somebody yeah. probably had somebody's toy or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Otto, I think, had the bone.
Grizzy wanted it. Yeah.
So it was so funny because, you know, I see everything as like the hologram. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, we're having this thing yeah. while these two dogs are having their
right,
thing.
Right.
So, you know, just like you can see in pets, there are going to be fights. Like you right. can have two cats that love each other and they get into little right. swiping things. But at the end of the day, like getting through it, with both parties being able to have their moments,
yeah.
but then both having to respect each other in right. that environment.
Right.
Although I guess some animals eat the other one, but I'm still not okay with that.
It does happen.
Yeah. I hate, like, I'll be on Instagram and like, I kind of do my little search thing where like, cause all, when I go into the search, all the things pop up that they know I like, cause the algorithm. So it'll be like cute animal videos, angel cards. And then I'll see like a fucking lizard eating a cricket. And I'm like, no, I hate it.
I know when we took my dog for the walk that day and I let him chase a squirrel, I could see the pet. I was like, I promise you he won't catch the squirrel.
I was like, no,
I promise the squirrel no. will be okay.
I felt bad for the squirrel.
I know. I realized that after I let him go.
But it's a problem. Not that it's a problem, but it is my bleeding heart. I guess I've always had it, but
it's
I'm starting.
Not a problem.
Well, it is in the sense of like, especially as autumn is here and the leaves are falling. Death has been such an issue on my mind because loss is a part of life.
Right.
And there's a degree that I have to accept it. And then there's another degree where I don't want to accept it. At least I don't want to at least contribute to more than there has to be. You know,
right.
and like, it's just been interesting. Like, I've been more aware than ever of the loss with the weather change. And I can just really feel things dying around me. And it's been,
yeah.
talk about heightened sensitivity. I can yeah. feel the trees and everything. And I'm like, okay, how can I feel
this? Does
this happen
this? Every year at this time?
It's different now with the healing year? Work. I'm sure I always felt it, yeah. but didn't allow myself to feel it as deeply as yeah. I'm feeling it now. And I'm trying to really let myself feel it while also function and right. like not get, because once again, lizards do eat other animals. Snakes eat other animals. I can't try to talk to a snake and be like, now we're going to be vegetarian.
Right.
Because I almost want to, you know?
Right.
And like, so I've had cats for a long time, but like one of my cats, I tried to make vegan
right.
and bought vegan, you know, and eventually when my cat was getting UTIs, I was like, okay, you're going to eat meat, you
right.
know? But like, it's hard for me still to reconcile, you know, loss in general. And I think just to be physically manifested, to be honest, there's like a carving out. They call it the sinsum in my school. It's like this contraction that happens to even be here. Mm-hmm. And it's loss. It's like the bite of the apple. It's that original sin.
Right.
To even be here, there has to be this food chain. Death is a part of it.
And I'm
just trying really hard to feel the sadness of that while trying to accept it.
Yeah.
Because I can't pick at snakes. You know what I mean?
Right.
I can't be like, come on.
No.
Don't eat that mouse.
No. And there's so much, unfortunately, of it that goes on.
You see squirrels, like, right. You know, hit by cars.
Of course. And I know.
It's awful. But
it is awful.
You know, yeah. So I'm just trying to even accept that loss exists.
Yeah.
I mean, even when I went shopping today for some of my music video stuff, I'm looking at all the stuff and I'm like, this is all like, we had to cut down trees. We had to use a lot of materials that were once alive to make these things.
Yeah. And, yeah.
You know, I think it's important to also, a lot of us, be more mindful consumers of, it's okay to purchase things and enjoy them while also realizing that loss happens to have each product we use.
It's too much though. I mean, it's just too much. It's insane. And I mean, I'm guilty of it too, but I look
like it's excessive is what you're saying.
So everybody, we're just all so excessive. And especially as we're moving into this like whole holiday season, and I was out shopping too. And just like the vast quantity of, I went to the Short Hills Mall. I don't know if you've been there yet. It's
once.
Like a very, very ritzy mall.
Yeah.
And you're just clearly seeing everybody's just buying things nobody needs. Like it's just, like you can see that there's women who are there every day dropping a few $100s on something new every day. Mm-hmm. That's great. I'm so happy for them. They have so much money. It's not like about that, but it's just like
trying to
fill
the void.
How much stuff do you need? How much? Yeah, they're definitely trying to fill a void, but just there's so much stuff.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I get it, you know, but I think as we all wake up to the fact that like material things won't ultimately make us happy or fix that thing, while also allowing yourself to buy things you need and can enjoy.
And you can enjoy,
and finding the balance, because right now we are almost mindless consumers where we just buy without thinking of
what
that entails.
I think I see it a lot where I live with the size of houses people need for the amount of people who live there too. Like my house is nice. I love my house, but it by no means by standards nowadays is it a big house.
Yeah.
Actually, I mean, it's a,
you have
beautiful,
a beautiful house.
It's a beautiful home. I absolutely love it. And I do not want another house. But when I see these houses are being built in the neighborhood for families of four, where you could fit like 15 people in them.
Oh, I'm definitely I'm going to have a mansion one day, but I'm going to run healing events out of them.
OK, well, then that's different.
And dance parties.
It'll be a workspace, too. So.
No, but for real, like I definitely want a big space because I want to have events there.
Right.
You know, where, you know me, I want to have dance parties, my Going Deep events.
Right.
Like I want it to be a hub for healing events.
It's a center.
I do want it to be.
Yeah.
But not like 100% where people are just in and out constantly.
Right.
But yeah, but like something where at least once a week it's used in that way.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's different than this though. This is just like, I need a bigger house because I need to show off to the person next
door. But there's
door.
A balance, because at the same time, I never want to tell people how to live. But I get what you're saying, too.
Well, the thing is then that big house needs more energy and it needs more air conditioning and it needs more water. And it's just that's not good for any of us. So, like, it's just about the footprint. It all goes back to the footprint you leave on the planet and everything, right?
Yeah.
So it's like these bigger houses, you don't, for not a lot of people, you don't need to leave that on the planet. I don't want to tell someone how to live their life, but it's like, shit, you're impacting the rest of us and our future too. So
like in my
just
big
be nice
house,
if people thought about it. I don't like get mad at, I don't go to people's house and be like,
in my imaginary dream house, actually, because it's not real yet. But, but yeah, I do see like a lot of people coming through though. Like I would want, you know, my mom to be there a lot and friends who are visiting from like LA or whatever. Like I'd want it to be a place for people to come.
Right. That you could have guests.
Oh my God, what a dream.
That you could have guests.
Because I've never had like a big family in that way. And I kind of dream of having like a family of friends, an actual family that my house is way more full and lively than I've ever experienced. So, and giving people a place to go, even if it's a friend who is in a money crisis and needs a place to stay for like 6 months.
Provide that.
I would love to be able to say to people like, oh, you're having a hard time. You always have a place to stay.
Yeah.
And you know?
Yeah, because
I think that's community and I think that's what we're lacking.
Right.
And I would love to have a hub for people who need it.
Yeah.
That I also like and get along with.
Right.
This isn't just open to the public. Right. Like, come on in, you know? Although, yeah. I also want a lot of animals living in my house. I swear to God. Well, I want fucking iguanas. This
sounds like a commune than it is. So I don't think like when I'm like upset about people leaving too big a footprint by getting these major houses they don't need. This isn't falling into that now. Everybody's coming.
I do want a little bit.
It's like a Noah's Ark.
Kind of. But like of people that I love and trust in
my
home.
Right.
Because, yeah, I don't want to bring people I don't know around my son or something like
that. Of course not.
But yeah, I do want, I just really think we're lacking in community. Mm-hmm. And it's huge for like moms, as you know, like when you feel isolated with like a 1-year-old, a 2-year-old, it can get really dark. And I want us to have community like a lot of other countries do where, you know, you're together a lot.
You're
not raising your kids alone.
No, that's like, so how my family is in India, it's all joint housing. So like, you go live with your husband's family. So like my dad had 3 brothers. So that would have meant technically if like he hadn't, like they moved around. But all 4 brothers and should have been living with my grandparents with their wives and their kids. Mm. Like, and so you have so many people like raising the children and taking care of what needs to be done and stuff. I mean, it's not for me. But there is a beauty in it too, because like when I would go there to visit and we would stay, I'd be like, this is so amazing. There's all these people under one roof. And like, you know, the problem is I saw it as kumbaya and everybody wasn't as kumbaya as it felt to me.
Space needs to still be built in. Like in my dream vision I have, I'm not always surrounded by people all the time. I lose my mind.
Yeah.
I still have my own private room.
Right.
That, or rooms, you know, like an office in my bedroom that I can retreat to when I need my space.
Right.
Because I think when you're forced into kumbaya without being able to speak up, which we're talking about, then it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
I'm talking about community where your space is still cherished.
Right.
Because otherwise, once again, I'd start stabbing everyone in my house. emotionally stabbing.
Like, okay. You know, I was like, does this sound like a commune cult?
It sounds like it reminds me of The Shining. You know, he just loses it in this fucking, I'm stabbing ghosts.
Exactly.
But not like a cult kind of thing, but like, I do want it to be a place for people or friends to be able to come to, but I also very much need the privacy of my own home and sometimes maybe no one in my fucking house.
Right.
So I can dance naked in my living room.
Right, right.
You know, or hopefully with my husband at the time.
Right.
Once that manifests. But when Shane's not home, he does not need to see his mom dancing naked anywhere. Mom. Except in labia king. Which I hope he will not be watching. He does not need to see that.
He probably won't watch. Do you think he'll watch it?
I think he'll try to avoid it.
Yeah.
I think it's good that I've given him a heads up of like, this is inappropriate, you're not going to want to see it. And that way, if he chooses to, he can quickly be like, ah, fuck it, click off, no. But we'll see. I do want it to go viral, but maybe not with the middle schoolers. You know, maybe there's a way where it can go viral, but he never knows or his friends.
That would be the perfect thing.
Yeah, is like, he's, but you know what? These middle schoolers, they're so obsessed with YouTube and they find all the inappropriate shit, these kids, because
labia games is going to be right on their target.
Yeah. Well,
will labia games be allowed on YouTube?
Labia game, I believe, will be, because there won't be actual nudity. And in terms of language, you can curse. Right. In terms of radio plays, no. But Shane actually, you know, because he was like, that won't be played on the radio. And I said to him, I was like, huh, yeah, you can't say the P word. And he's like, well, it could be kitty game.
Kitty
game. So I was like, it's so funny that Shane's the one that, you know, but I'm like, actually, that's brilliant. You know,
he's like, why did I
think the kid version?
Why did I?
They don't even know it's originally dirty. I'm just like, meow, kitty game. Yeah. And only the adults know where it stems from.
Exactly.
That's like my dream. It's like my dirty song is also now a kid's song.
It's going to turn, it's going to be like Nickelodeon with the like, there's subliminal messages about pussies in this video.
Welcome to every cartoon. Yeah. Because like you'll watch SpongeBob or whatever and you see all those dirty jokes. I
mean, did you ever watch Yo Gabba Gabba? That was one of the.
Oh my God. Yeah. They had tons of hidden innuendos.
The one looked like a little, they were very phallic looking, some of the characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. It was,
well, they even say in some Disney cartoons, if you like freeze some of the images, you can see like penis palaces.
Do you think that people really, the artists were just like, haha, I'm going to throw a dick in for fun. Like
sometimes yes, so? Sometimes no. Sometimes I think it just happened to look like it. Yeah. And sometimes I think they were totally in on it. Like, yeah.
I think if I was artist, I would totally be throwing like dicks and tits into kids stuff.
Boobs and penises. It's all funny.
Yeah, it is funny.
It's funny. You know, little kids think it's funny. We think it's funny. It's just about finding it funny while also respecting the parts while they're on another person, right. You know, like not just like, let me see your tits, right. You know, like you could, there's a way to like laugh at it, but then not disrespect someone.
So I will say that I was talking about how I've been harassed. I've had incidents. And I guess I'm questioning myself because I've also had incidents which normal people would feel where they were being harassed. That I was totally fine with.
But that's okay because you get to decide for you.
But isn't that so confusing for them? So that somebody could literally, like we already discussed this and you were saying that, but that, you know, that I do have the right to be like, no, I have a relationship with this person or I have a relationship and, you know, I'm not as close. But it is very confusing. It is going to be, there's some confusion there and we're going to need to figure out how to make it not confusing.
Via communication and feeling into it. That's the sensitivity because it's almost like, I'm going to say a funny example, but it's like you might have anal sex with one romantic partner, but that doesn't mean you get to meet someone new and then shove your penis up a person's butt.
Right.
You know, and you can't just be like, oh, but my ex let me do it. Right. Okay, well, I'm a different person.
Right.
You know, feel into.
I'm not okay with that. Yeah. Yeah.
And we've all been in situations where someone tries to physically maybe for something that their last partner liked on us. Yeah. And you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Right.
I'm a different person, you know? So it's going to be that kind of thing of like every person's an individual. There's an individual relationship.
But I guess it's different here because that's not what it is. It's I'm the same person. You're a different person.
But it's still a different third thing because it's you. It's you, the other thing or person. And then the relationship that encompasses the whole thing.
Right.
So just because you're the same.
See, like, I'm confused about this, though. Like, I'm nervous about it. Like, I realize men must be so nervous about what's happening.
You got to feel into it and communicate.
Yeah.
This is forcing all of us to communicate because these men who are nervous, understandably, it's going to make everyone be like, oh, okay, are you okay with it? Like, okay, I'm pulling my dick out right now. I'm not like jerking off in front of you and you don't want it, right? Like,
do
you want this?
But he did get consent from those women to jerk off in front of them.
Yeah, but a lot of their recounts, it was like block the doorway, whip out the dick and just be like, are you okay with this while already?
Okay. It wasn't like...
Maybe there were certain situations that we're not hearing about where it was more consensual.
No, yeah, okay.
But, you know, from the details I've heard, it was very like, whoa, that dick came out of nowhere.
Right.
Like, you know, maybe they thought, oh God, is he going to try to hook up with me in this room? And then suddenly it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Because if you're not like kissing or making out, no dick should be out first. Dick, it doesn't go dick then tongue kissing.
Right, no. I guess it could though, right? I mean, who's
with a lot of good communication.
With a lot of good communication.
Maybe if you have a cold.
Right.
And you know, you've never made out. And can you imagine the first time you haven't even kissed the person because you know, you're sick and you're like, but whip it out. Jerk off in front of me.
I had a comedian who I was messaging with on Facebook and then was like, all right, say something sexy now so I could jerk off. And I just didn't respond. And that was the end of it. And I so badly, because he's been posting so much shit about this Louis C.K. stuff.
Like anti-Louis?
Well, just kind of a little bit. And I just so badly want to just for one of the comments to his post, put that message from him, you know? I'm not going to.
Well, the hypocrisy that comes out in these moments. It's just hypocrisy. Yeah.
And it's just like, look, I didn't even care that he said that. Like, I didn't respond, but we have spoken since. We've been fine since.
Yeah.
And then there was part of me that was going to just send it to him privately and be like, yeah, if I thought this would get me any notoriety because you had the career of Louis C.K., I would totally go public.
You can't even do that as a joke. It'll be taken like...
No, I know. As a threat. It would totally be taken as a threat.
Well, that's the whole thing is the hypocrisy of it. It's the shame body. It's like if someone can't see it in themselves, the subconscious is going to make them extra hard go after the person that's famous as almost a way to be like, oh, see, but I'm not like that.
That's a good point. And almost
it's
like...
It's deflection.
It's almost like the people who... defend or who are against him the most, you have to be more wary of them than the people who defend him. I don't know. Maybe, I mean, that's probably not a fair assumption to make.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Well, anytime anyone is like so freaking strong and blamey on something, normally there's something to look at, you know? And I've been on that with myself because in my past, all my exes were the bad guy.
Right.
You know, and I would obsess and ruminate on all their issues. Right. And what they needed to fix, because I, even though I was working on myself, I had yet to really see things that were hidden to me. And that's how defense mechanisms work, is they hide our own ugly parts so well, so we can't see it as a way to protect ourselves. So that's why you also have to be kind and compassionate to yourself. But it's all shifting and changing. And that's why I'm so positive. Like, a lot of people think the world's almost getting worse.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, everything's getting unveiled. Yeah. Everything's finally coming to the surface.
That's
so
a good
we can
point.
Look at it.
Right. That's a good
and
point.
And address it.
Right. That's a good point.
It's like anytime
change doesn't happen otherwise.
No.
So that's why even with our skirmishes.
Yeah.
I'm optimistic because I was like, look, things may not always change for the better, but change can always be good. Like, I mean, when I say not change for the better, change is necessary.
It's part of life.
It's part of life.
It's movement.
Right. So it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, we're doing great. We're killing it. I think so. You know what I mean? I do. And like, once again, I felt like our fight and our resolution almost went beyond us into like teaching not just ourselves how to get through our own thing, but it taught me a lot about how to get through it with lots of my friends.
Right.
And even if it's just right now putting space into it, it's like we're both good people with good hearts and great intentions. And it's like you can get through it. Sometimes it just takes time.
Right.
You know, and if you need a year of space because it got really heated with like
and I think
family
also
member.
One thing that was interesting was when we had it, we were like, okay, for some reason, my house is not a good place for us to be together, I think.
In that moment. And that can shift.
And that could shift, but also just like realizing like, yeah, maybe it's not. Maybe for some reason, for whatever reason, the dynamic shifts when you're there. Yeah. But just like even being able to talk about that and recognize that and go, okay, well, it doesn't mean you can't come to my house, but maybe for the next few times, let's not hang out at my house or whatever. Like just.
Yeah. Which is beautiful flexibility and honesty.
Right.
To be able to say that and. You know, because how many people even think of like the environment they're in and how that affects it? And who knows why?
Right.
It could be some deep subconscious weird shit.
What's going on? But
and it can also shift and change.
Right.
Yeah. But I think it's pretty badass that not only did we get through it, but we're able to talk about it publicly.
Yeah.
So I'm proud of us. And it definitely has taught me a lot that expands beyond me and you.
Yes, I would agree with that.
And it's also good, to, once again, when you're like, well, disagreements are uncomfortable. This is why I've avoided it. But avoiding it doesn't make it go away.
No, it doesn't.
So you have no choice almost.
It does always gurgle back up.
Always.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, we're going to wrap it up.
Okay, good.
Thanks for coming on. This was great. You're welcome. I felt like slumber. We had the slumber party kind of thing.
I know. We're both in our pajamas in Kate's bed.
Yeah. So. We're just, I mean, it's the most comfy place in my house, I think. The upstairs is great, but in the winter, there aren't these,
heating.
Baseboards. So you have to put on the like electric heaters, the space heaters. And I was telling Reed too, like they're good, they work, but I can almost start tasting it.
Yeah.
Like after a while, it feels like it goes in my body.
Yeah, it does. You're so, like being baked up there.
Yeah. So it's okay. Like I'll do it sometimes to get, like if Shane's down here and I want space, like I'll go up and sit up there for maybe an hour at the most, but I prefer to not be like, tastes like heated up cancer.
Yeah, I know, really. Or like you're that, the food, like at 7-Eleven.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
That's what like just.
Oh, you're right.
Like chicken. Yeah. Sorry, I know you're vegan.
No,
but I'm a vegetarian.
Yeah.
Like that. Chicken, yeah, no,
but that's part of the heightened sensitivity of even being able to like notice that foods taste differently when cooked a certain way. I know that sounds obvious, but like at least for me, I'm attuning to like okay, I was upstairs with these space heaters, and now I can taste in my mouth this funkiness.
Yeah.
So but yeah, but so where can people find you?
When is this coming out? Oh, you can find me
tomorrow
at the,
tonight.
Okay, the Ritu Chandra. That's my Instagram, Twitter and Facebook. So the Ritu Chandra. And then I'll be at Morristown tomorrow at my show at Sona 13, if anyone's around. $5
and
tickets.
It's monthly.
It's monthly. The next one will be actually Tuesday, December 12th. And then Wednesday I'll be at Stress Factory for their Thanksgiving evening show. So
amazing.
Yes.
Definitely check out her stuff. And then for me, December 3rd is my album recording. Yay. So definitely, I have a 7 o'clock and a 9:15.
I'm definitely going to be there.
Ritu will be there. Yeah. Promo Wolf, W-O-L-F-F, for $10 tickets. You can get it on New York Comedy Club's website. Please come. It's like one of my biggest things. You know, it's literally like 7.5 years of material I've been working on. Some of it's a lot newer material.
Yeah.
But it's like kind of like releasing it and showing what I've been working on. So it would mean a lot to me to have you guys there. And I have Emma Willman's going to be opening, Nico White, Amina Imani, Robin Shaw. And these are all people that basically I've been doing comedy with since I started.
That's so awesome.
I really wanted to like pick the people that I started with as like a, well, first of all, I love them to death, but it's also just like such a meaningful for like all of us.
Like your family, like your comedy family.
Because
so,
it's
yeah.
such a hustle and it's so much work.
It's such a hustle.
You know, and time, and I don't know. I love everyone on it. So it's going to be a special night. So I'd love to have you guys there. You can check out my website, thekatewolf.com. If you want a tarot reading or the other kind of weird healing I do, you can email me kwolf2fs27@gmail.com. And thank you guys so much for listening.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. You're amazing. All right. Bye.
Bye.